Hello and welcome to a Search Data Management podcast. I'm Justin O'Coin, Assistant Site Editor for SearchDataManagement.com. We're here today to talk about choosing the right master data management vendor with James Masuoka. James is a managing consultant with Baseline Consulting, a technology and management consulting firm specializing in business analytics and data integration. James is here with us today to share his insight and some tips for evaluating and choosing an MDM vendor. Welcome aboard, James.
Thank you, Justin. It's great to be here.
Great. All right, so let's jump right into the thick of things. When evaluating vendors, what are the most important steps?
Well, there are really, I think, three important steps. One is creating an RFP and, you know, thereby being able to get requirements of what you're going to be doing out in front of the vendors that you're going to be asking to bid on this project. The next piece is really about getting the right customer references. Customer references are important because you've never been able to, or you probably haven't installed this software or used the software previously. So you would like to be able to get the kind of experiences from those other customers, and you can use that through your evaluation process. And then the third piece is to get the vendors to come on site and to give you a presentation of the product and also answer any questions and that you may have for them.
Okay, now, what are some of the most common mistakes and pitfalls companies make when evaluating vendors? Are there ways for companies to avoid any of these mistakes?
Yeah, so I've run into three common mistakes among the clients that I've worked with. I think the first is not really knowing what you want to do. You know, gathering requirements beforehand is really critical in this process because if you don't know how you're going to be using it, then you don't even know what vendors to invite to the table. There are a lot of different MDM vendors out there, and they go from, you know, the small tools that you may use to custom make yours all the way up to the major vendors who provide packaged products that allow you to insert those in within your architecture. So not knowing what you want before you actually buy the product is the first mistake that I've seen people make. The next is really during the evaluation process is not being able to see a demonstration of their product that meets your requirements. That could certainly come in a variety of ways, but you know, you want to make sure that if their regular demo doesn't quite show you all the things that you need to know about their product and you can see how it relates to your own requirements, then you need to ask for more. You know, for example, things like if you're going to be modifying the data model, what does that entail in the development process, those kinds of things. And then the third thing is not really fully accounting for the total cost of ownership. So this means that not only the cost of the software for the hub itself, but also for the various pieces that may have to go around it, you know, those you don't really normally take into account, you know, the infrastructure pieces that you may have to buy specifically for this tool. And then also the implementation costs. Be a combination of the cost provided by the vendors themselves or the talent provided by the vendors themselves and also the kind of skills and resources that you would need in-house. And then from a support point of view, when you want to support your own product yourself, then you're going to need those kind of resources to be able to help you support the product on an ongoing basis.
Okay, so one question we hear a lot over here at TechTarget deals with requests for proposals and requests for information. Now, a lot of companies don't want to spend 6 to 12 months evaluating and selecting a vendor. Are RFPs and RFIs an absolute necessity in the evaluation process?
Yeah, Justin, I think it's unfortunately it is necessary, and for a couple of reasons. One, when you get the proposals from the vendors, I mean, you want to get their promises in writing about, you know, yes, they meet your requirements in this way. You know, and the other thing is that as now more and more regulations and processes are being forced down upon companies, is that in IT, you want to be able to have the proper documentation as backup for auditing because in case either you're looked upon as you didn't spend the money correctly or you didn't evaluate the vendors correctly, you then have the proper backup information for you.
Okay. Do you have any tips for creating a streamlined RFP that can help companies out there?
You know, you don't really have to go that onerous in terms of having a RFP the thickness of a large notebook. I mean, I think you need to be more reasonable about that, but yet cover all the basics about, you know, about what you want, so actually the vendors can then give you and propose what is it that you actually need. So I think the first thing about that is you want to be able to state how the MDM solution will be used, you know, and hopefully through gathering requirements, you know exactly how the business will be using and interfacing to it through their applications. You'll be knowing about the technical side, about from an infrastructure basis, what is it that it needs to fit in, if it's a service-oriented architecture, those kinds of things. You need to also look at what sort of hub style that you would like to have or that fits for your requirements, whether it's transactional, registry, hybrid, you know, whatever style that you so choose within your architecture, you need to communicate that to the vendor. Also things like number of sources, number of customer records that are in those sources, and the number of users. So these are sort of the basic sorts of things that you need to be able to provide to a vendor so they can then propose a solution. And then there's a couple more things. So, you know, one is existing architecture. You want to make sure that you state what it is so it fits right in. And then now in terms of the vendor responses, you want to be able to tell the vendor what you want to know. So functionality, what configuration that they're bidding, skills and roles that are needed through development, implementation, and support, customer references, information about the vendor, and then about what you want to see on the on-site presentation. That's basically it.
Okay, great. Now, during the RFP stage, should organizations focus more on functionality in master data management products, or how the vendors can go beyond that to meet business needs? What should be in the forefront of companies' minds at this stage?
Well, it's always prudent to be able to look at what the business needs are. And if you don't do that, then in the end, you really have difficulty showing return on investment. So I really recommend that you address the business side by really going out and gathering requirements, including business requirements. You know, things like how are the users going to be interacting with this system through what applications? You know, what is the value of having all your customers, all your products, all in a single place and being able to master that data? What does that actually mean for your business? And, you know, and the other thing is that if you don't really know what the business needs, then you really can't deliver that to them. So I think focusing on the business is a real critical piece.
Okay, now customer references can sometimes play a role in whether or not a company decides to go with a specific vendor. And it kind of makes sense, seeing certain companies vouching for a vendor might make an undecided organization a little more comfortable about that particular vendor, falling under the whole, well, if it's good enough for XYZ, it's good enough for us. But I have a feeling that that can be a little bit of a dangerous methodology to adopt. What should companies consider or look out for when evaluating these customer references?
A real good comment there, because I agree with that, is that if you look at customer references and take them in as a blanket statement, you know, it really can help to muddle the process and make the selection more difficult. So I think going in, what you have to do is really to be able to specify exactly the types of references that you want, the types of customers that you want. Does it fit within the architecture that you presently have? Does it have the same amount of data or similar amounts of data that you're proposing? And then from a company point of view, is it a similar size of company and similar industry? This is valuable because there are other industries that have had long traditions of IT and developing many complex systems. So based on the kind of company you have and the maturity of your IT organization, you want to also be able to see whether the customer reference, how similar or different it is from your own organization, because that will then help you to see whether experiences that they've seen, is it relevant to apply to your situation and your implementation.
That's great advice. How important is it for organizations to have an on-site presentation done? Aren't the white papers, brochures, phone and email conversations enough for a company to make an educated decision?
Well, no, it's actually not enough. I mean, there is a lot of stuff out there and that you can look at, you know, everything from blogs to industry analysts and then the brochures, as you mentioned. But if you're going to be doing a more of a streamlined RFP process, you really want to push more of the information gathering into the presentation, because one, vendor doesn't have to sit down and write or give you all this boilerplate information. The other is that you don't have to read it as an evaluator. So, you know, what you want to do is you really want to structure the on-site presentation to be able to make sure that your whole selection committee is on the same page. You've all heard the same thing from all the vendors that have come in, and so you all have the same information to be able to make your selection or evaluation and selection on. And the other is that you want to be able to have a demo which will help you to evaluate the vendors in terms of the area of total cost of ownership, architecture, you know, those kinds of things. And so, you know, during the demo, the vendor can then prove, you know, how do they meet the requirements? Is it easy or difficult to do that? How difficult or easy is it to change the hub configuration? Because after all, you're going to be the one who are going to have to support this going forward, and you don't want to have to call the vendor back every time that you want to make a small change. So you want to be able to do that, and of course that feeds into your total cost of ownership calculation. And then the other thing is that it gives you a chance to really begin to ask questions which you may not have thought of when you came out with the RFP, and then you get to also see, you know, a few gems of information that a vendor will actually show you. An example is that you could see maybe how easy it is to configure and maintain a hub. In one of my clients, we actually saw some detail about the splitting and merging of customer records, which we didn't really think about to ask that before, but we found out that that was going to be a showstopper. So that then really helped us with the evaluation.
Great. We have time for one last question. You touched on this a little bit earlier, and we hear this a lot from experts, that a lot of companies unknowingly don't prepare themselves enough before starting their MDM project, and that can lead to a lot of hassles and headaches. What kind of preparation is needed before a company kicks off a project?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, is that really gathering the requirements is the primary thing. If you don't know exactly how you're going to be using it, then how are you going to determine and evaluate which vendor can actually help you do it the best? That is a real key step. And then after that, it's really helping to determine the process. You want to be able to have a fairly formalized process written down. So one, you could properly train the people on the selection committee. And then the other is that, again, from an auditing standpoint, you want to make sure that you have the proper documentation to show that, you know, you took time and you were careful about choosing which product to go forward with. And then the other thing, which is fairly standard, is in the area of determining selection criteria. Do you have a room full of evaluators that you've, you know, got at your company? If you don't come to an agreement about how you're going to be evaluating and scoring the evaluation, then it's just going to be anarchy. So without a proper determining ahead of time the proper selection criteria that you're going to use, then you can move that into and apply that to scoring worksheets with weighting that goes on there depending on what that selection criteria was. The last thing is to be able to create a selection committee that really represents the many users and sides in the company. So you want both the business there as well as IT in the selection committee, because after all, you want to be able to show IT that you are actually meeting their requirements and they have a hand in selecting what the product would be. Those are some of the basics of preparation.
Great. This has been quite an informative conversation. Thanks for calling in and sharing your insight with us, James.
You're welcome, Justin.
All right. Thanks again to James Masuoka for sharing his insight on choosing the right master data management vendor. And as always, thanks to our listeners for being here. Be sure to visit searchdatamanagement.com to find more podcasts and information about master data management products, vendors, trends, and best practices. Until next time, I'm Justin McCoy for searchdatamanagement.com.